board the phone line and kicking off the show with our friend Nick Coit from ABC6 in Providence. Hi, Nick.
Loaded Tuesday, Rich. I love it. Man, what a show you got today. This is awesome. Glad to be a part of it.
Well, glad to have you here with us this afternoon. A whole lot going on. We were chatting before we came on. It's getting to be that time of year when things pick up quickly here with college sports, high school sports, and, of course, all the pro sports seemingly getting ready to go at the same time within the next, 6 or 8 weeks.
I got to refill like the Advil that's in my backpack. I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, holy cow. Yep, it's coming. It's coming. But you know what? I live in New England, and I'll probably forever live in New England because, or be drawn to it at least, because fall is my favorite season.
Yep.
And so I am very much looking forward to it. But it is always bittersweet to say goodbye to summer because it's also a great time of the year. It's a little bit slower when it comes to the sports. And, you know, when fall hits, it's going to be busy. And I was out at URI football practice on Friday visiting with the Rams. And I'm sure I'm going to be seeing the Bryant Bulldogs joining the CAA. See them soon. And Brown will start up with the Ivy League. And it's like, you know, you're full go with the high schools. And, yeah, okay, here I go. I'm going through the list. It's making my head spin already.
All right. Stretch, Nick. Stretch before you get out there, all right? I don't want you to pull anything.
Exactly.
Well, let's start with the Patriots here this afternoon. Yeah, but look, let's not mess around. Who's the quarterback?
I think at this moment in time, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, QB1, is still Jacoby Brissett. But I think that Thursday was eye-opening for a lot of people down there, and obviously for a lot of people watching in New England. Everybody wanted to be football analysts and say, like, ooh, okay, let's see what the kid looks like, and thought the kid was pretty solid. I had the sideline view. I actually shot video of the game on the sidelines, which is a different perspective typically for us. And, you know, for me, it was great to be able to just kind of see how he handled himself, Drake May. And, you know, you see what you see on television, the plays that he makes, and you can analyze that. But I wanted to see some of the body language. Okay, you know, this play happens. He gets hit. You know, he misses a throw. He makes a throw. He runs into the end zone, like all those things. And I thought through the ups and downs of that Thursday performance, he was really even-keeled and didn't get too high and get too low. And it sounds cliche, but you think you want your quarterback to be that way. And, you know, and if he celebrates after a touchdown, great. But and he did, but it wasn't too much. And if he misses a throw, okay, that stinks. But he's not kicking himself. He's not punching his helmet. He's not doing all that. The kid was pretty solid. And I think that's why a lot of eyes were open down there, because he did make some plays and, you know, did do a few good things.
Well, and that's such a big part of it, too. Obviously, the physical skills have to be there, but it's also about being the leader of the offense out there and how you interact with your teammates, how you feel when you got a wide open receiver and he drops that ball, and how you respond physically to that.
Well, and I think the last couple of years with the previous first round draft pick quarterback, I think some of the emotions kind of boiled over.
Mm.
His second and third year, yes, he was. There were a lot of factors that set him up to fail there, you know, i.e. Matt Patricia and Joe Judge running the offense. But, you know, in terms of handling adversity and handling himself on the field, Mac Jones didn't really do himself any favors there. You know, there was a lot of emotions that I think kind of took over and affected his play at points. And this kid, it was funny to hear Drake after the game in the post-game press conference. You know, he was asked about that first touchdown, and he had a smile on his face, and he said, you know, it's funny. He's like, my parents tell me that I need to celebrate good plays more. And I was like, that's interesting. So he has the opposite problem. It's like, hey, something good happened, Drake. It's okay to show a little energy and emotion. But you know what? If that's his problem, I think it's an easier thing to fix. And it's probably not a bad problem to have if you're a young quarterback.
I thought the defense looked pretty good. And even without Matthew Judon, it seems like that'll be the strength of the team again this year.
I think you're going to hear the name Keon White a lot, and I think that they like Keon White a lot. I think I like Keon White a lot. And so I think when they made this deal with Judon and going to Atlanta, I think they had a guy like that in mind and saying, like, well, if we're going to really go young here at certain positions, this is a guy that we feel confident that can help us you know, at least make up for not having him out there. And I think probably maybe some of that confidence comes from not having Judon on the field for most of last year, too. You know, it's one of those things where if you're not out there, sometimes, you know, you're forced to see what it looks like. And the Pats defense was solid last season. And I think they feel like they're okay there. So opportunity for Keon White, opportunity for guys like Josh Uche to really step forward as leaders. And, you know, you will miss his, I think, Judon's personality, his presence. This is a really good player, but I think they feel good about what they've got there to make up for not having him there.
Back in the old days of whatever, 2 years ago when they played four exhibition games, you kind of had a feel that the third game was always the crucial game, and then by game four, you know, it didn't really matter anymore. They were just getting ready to start. But what does it mean now? How important is this Sunday night game with Washington?
It's a good question because I still don't have a feel for it, you know, with this three preseason game thing. But I think when you have a young rookie quarterback that has a chance to get out on the field and get meaningful live game action, you want to see more of that. You want to get him that experience, and you want him to try to build off of what he did this past week. I think that's important. And I think with the coaching staff, if it truly did open their eyes to, okay, maybe this kid can be ready sooner than we thought, then they probably want to see more of it. They want to put him in more situations, in more, you know, live reps, all of that. Because practice is practice. You know, you get a lot there, of course, but nothing like simulating a live game. And so, you know, I think they're going to give Drake more opportunity here on this Sunday night. And, you know, if he shows out again, maybe it makes it more interesting. If he has some struggles, maybe it shows, okay, well, this is sort of why we thought, okay, let's take it slow. So It at least makes things really, really interesting. And I think whenever anybody can get live game action, I think that's important. And especially if you have less and less opportunity to do that before it really gets going in week one.
Nick Coit with us here on Downtown. Boy, another tough loss for the Red Sox last night. They've certainly made it an exciting year, more interesting than we thought they'd be, but with this schedule over the next week or so, is there a chance that they're out of it before the calendar even turns?
Unfortunately, maybe, and it stinks because I think it has been a really fun year, an interesting year with this team, but as we've talked about before, Rich, on this show, it was going to be the pitching that was going to get them as far as they wanted to go. I think we really like the lineup and what they bring there and how they play offensively, using speed to their advantage, all that. That's made things exciting, but it was always about the pitching. And in particular, I think the starting pitching, they have had some unfortunate, you know, happenings there with James Paxton going down. And, you know, I felt like he could really help them after picking him up at the deadline, and obviously has the injury. And, you know, now they're signing Rich Hill for the 82nd time, and you know, so but hopefully he can help. But it was always about that, and you know, guys like Cutter Crawford, who's had his struggles trying to get past five innings, which taxes the bullpen. And I wasn't totally shocked that I think Kenley was probably due for giving up a big hit, because he's really been, I think he's been good lately up until last night. I think it was just they've worked him so much here recently, and so it's, and then, you know, the pickups that you have, like a Lucas Sims, like that hasn't, it's had its ups and downs. Same with Garcia. Like it's, you know, you've gotten some arms in there, but you've needed some better performances. But I say that, but at the same time, a lot of these guys have had to throw a lot of innings and in a lot of games, especially when, if you're taking a return of rotation and you're having bullpen games, it tells you where the state of your pitching staff is at this point. So, you know, if they can pick it up, if they can grab a couple of wins here this week, I mean, Houston's tough to play against, obviously, then maybe they can hang around and stay in it. But, you know, they've got to do it fast because they don't want to fall too far here too quickly.
No, but at the same time, even if this is it, if it peters out here in late August, I didn't want them to do any more than they did at the deadline because they protected those key guys, especially the big three, who are now at Worcester, and they made what I think is the most important signing, and that's making sure Alex Cora is around for the next few years.
I absolutely agree, Rich. I absolutely agree. And I just don't think you were going to do much more than you did at the deadline. And it was, you could have, maybe you could have added another starter, but they added Paxton, and he got hurt. Like, those things happen. I think if he was still in the rotation right now, then it would eat up some of these innings that the bullpens had to pick up. Like, that's been really tough. So I think that Craig Breslow did a good job at the deadline. It's just been about, you know, trying to get some of these guys that are already out there to continue to perform. And that was a big ask, too, because these are young pitchers that haven't had to throw this much this deep into a season, like Crawford, like Tanner Houck, who's had his ups and downs, too, who was fantastic the first half of the year. But it was always, okay, how can he carry this into August and September? Because it is a long season. Baseball is about that grind. And so, you know, you weren't going to get much more. They got help at the deadline. They got that signal that the front office believed that they could try to make a run toward the postseason. So, you know, it is what it is. This is the team they have on the field, and they've had their opportunities. I mean, they have had their opportunities. 12 blown saves since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Like, that tells you that they've had leads, and they have been in it. It's just been a matter of closing things out, and some of that's been unfortunate. And, you know, I mean, I think back to that Rangers game where they had a chance to sweep, and, you know, all of a sudden they have to pull Sogard out of second base. They get a double play ball. They only get one out, and then they hit a 3-run home run, and then I hit one in the 10th, and it's like, well, holy, I mean, you should close that out, but holy cow, like, this is just a series of unfortunate events here. So, you know, part of it's that, but hey, we'll see. Still a lot of baseball left to be played.
Nick Coit, ABC 6 Providence. Well, before I let you go, I have to mention on the air, we were talking before we came on, back right after he was born, Nick, you were still working up here at Channel 5, and you were kind enough to fill in for me when I was on paternity leave from the show, and that little guy that we birthed, Graham, not so little now, 10 years old, getting ready to start fifth grade in a couple of weeks.
Boy, that is unbelievable. That's so, oh my gosh, time flies. Time really flies, but that is awesome. I'm glad to hear that Graham is growing up. That's great. It's funny to hear him having the same fears as you going back to school now that he's old enough. Like, oh boy, here we go. It's the fall. Like all that, you know. It's funny, but they grow up so fast. I don't have to tell you, Rich. So that's wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely, Nick. Great talking with you as always, my friend. Rest up for the rush that's coming, and we'll catch up with you as we turn the page into September.
Hey, I look forward to the fall. Look forward to talking to you soon. Always a pleasure, Rich. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Nick Coit from ABC 6 in Providence.